The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
You foolish Galatians. That's today's sermon title, you foolish Galatians. Do you know the word Svengali? Have you heard that before? I didn't know the background of it. I did a little looking up. There's a French author named Georges du Maurier. He was a cartoonist. He was an illustrator. He wrote novels. He was on the staff of the British magazine, satirical magazine, Punch, if you have heard that. And he coined several words, several phrases that we use even today, concepts like good in parts. It's good in parts. You may have heard that one before. That was one of his. Here's one that the physicians in the room will know, bedside manner. When we think about how a doctor is with a patient, bedside manner, that comes from Georges du Maurier. And also the word Svengali. Now, if you haven't heard the word before, it actually refers to a person and then also a behavior. This fella, du Maurier, wrote a book called Trilby. And it's a story about a poor little artist's model, whose name is Trilby, who's transformed into a kind of a diva under the spell of an evil musical genius, whose name is Svengali. So you can probably see that pattern at play in several musicals or stories or whatever. Somebody comes under the spell of this musical genius, or there's one famous movie called The Red Shoes, about some mystical red ballerina shoes, and this ballerina comes under the spell of a Svengali. Svengali is the guy who is the evil one behind the scenes who's pulling the strings. And here's a little passage about Svengali from the book. Svengali would either fawn or bully and could be grossly impertinent. He had one kind of cynical humor which was more offensive than amusing, and always laughed at the wrong thing, at the wrong time, in the wrong place. And his laughter was always derisive and full of malice. You know anybody like that? In the novel, Svengali transforms this girl Trilby into a great singer, and he uses hypnosis. That's the international sign for hypnosis. And she can't perform without his help, so she becomes entranced by this Svengali. Now, even today, we use that word to say something about someone being under the spell, as it were, of somebody else. Or even in law, as I understand it, there's something called the Svengali defense, which I understand is a legal tactic that portrays the defendant as somehow a pawn or a puppet in the hands of a greater, more influential criminal mastermind. So that's where we get the word Svengali. What in the world does that have to do with Galatians? Well, hopefully I'll show you in just a second. I want you to turn first, please, to Galatians 3, 1 and following. All right, I'm reading from the NIV, and you can follow along if you have another translation, I'll bet you. You foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you? Another translation says, cast an evil spell. Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. I love that, by the way. Tell me just one thing. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? And what he means there is the sinful state of humankind. Have you experienced, some translations say suffered, have you suffered so much in vain, if it was really in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by believing what you heard? Paul's really laying it on thick here. You're foolish. And what he's doing is he's building on a thought from a previous verse. If you look at Galatians 2:21, you'll see what I'm talking about. He's saying, if anyone can be justified, that is to say, made right in God's eyes by the law, then Jesus died for nothing. Hey, if we can be made right before God by following the law, what law is he talking about? Don't steal from banks. Don't go more than 55. Is that what he's talking about? He's talking about the Torah, the Jewish law. If anybody can be justified, made right by that law, then you know what? Jesus died for nothing. His death would be pointless if there was another way to be made right with God. There's no point at all. How foolish. You all are foolish. So the Galatians had believed in Jesus when Paul came to visit them. They believed. He talks about, hey, you began really well. Look at verse, halfway through 3. After beginning by means of the Spirit, you heard, and by the Spirit, you believed. That's a great start. But now they've begun to believe in the Judaizers. What's a Judaizer? These are Jewish Christians who are saying, hey, all that's good, but it needs to have a plus at the end. By the way, always be really suspicious of anything that has a plus at the end, because that means somebody else can tell you what the plus means. But that's another topic for another day. You can have Jesus plus. And what the plus is to the Judaizer is we've got to follow the law. We've got to follow all those laws. For example, Gentiles need to be circumcised. And there's some dietary things you need to follow. You've got to follow the law to be saved. So I want you to go back to the "who has bewitched you" phrase. Would you look at that, please? Over there in Galatians 3:1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? I'm fascinated with words. Maybe you are too. But I wanted to go look at that word bewitched. It's a really unusual and rarely used Greek word. It goes back to something in the Old Testament. I won't take you there because it's a little obscure, actually. But the phrase literally means, ready for this? Give the evil eye. So it's literally, you foolish Galatians, exclamation mark, who has casting even spell. Who's given you the evil eye? Who's done this? Because you started out great. You were believing in Jesus alone, and then you're adding a plus to it. Got to be Jesus plus this stuff. Did someone cast a spell? So what's Paul saying? Is he really saying there must be evil involved and there's a boiling cauldron and hexes? No, that's not what he's saying. He's, I think, at least in my opinion, being hyperbolic and saying, there must be something really sinister involved here in order for you to exchange this for this. That's all I can think of. Somebody's bewitched you. This is nuts. Who has bewitched you? What does it mean to be bewitched? What happens when you are bewitched, bewildered? What's the song? Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered. What you said deceived, under some outside influence, you're not thinking clearly, what else? Unable to think of examples when the pastor asks a question, maybe that, okay. Yeah, that's it. Ruth says you're brought into this lie, you can't think clearly for yourself, you're immersed. It's like if you want to know about water, don't ask a fish, right? They're you can't get your handle on it, and maybe when you are bewitched, you're so immersed in it, you can't even tell what's going on. Yes, one more? Oh, so it could also be appealing, right? Well, I think you're going to see that here. There's something appealing about it. I want you to look at Galatians 3, now 23 through 29. Paul continues this conversation about how we came to faith and this business about why in the world would you want to go back to something else? It's not Jesus plus anything. Is there some Svengali at work here? Galatians 3, starting with verse 23. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian, you might want to circle that one, until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Verse 26, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wow. What an amazing reality. What an amazing new truth. What an amazing kingdom. Would you like to live in that kingdom? Beloved, you already are. And it's not that there are not males and females. It's not that there aren't slaves. It's not that there aren't Jews still. But in Christ, none of that matters anymore. There's a whole new reality, and it happens in Christ. I'll tell you a little story about a little shop in Jerusalem in the Jewish quarter, in the old city. There's a shop there, and those who went with me to Israel last time we went to this shop, the shop is called Shorashim, and it's run by two brothers, and they are Orthodox, observant Jews. And they are wonderfully peaceable, open kind of guys. They love to promote dialogue, especially with Christians, and even in some ways, especially with evangelicals. They said sometimes evangelicals come over there with big plans about evangelizing the Jewish people and end up sometimes doing more damage than good for the cause of Christ. And I remember that among other things, and he stressed the unity, the things that we have in common, I guess is the best way to say it. One thing that he said was, you evangelicals seem to think that we think of the law as a prison or as shackles or that we are enslaved to the law. That's not it at all. We love the law. It's how we think of ourselves as following what God wants to do. So a couple of observations from the Jewish perspective, okay? Jews don't characterize God's law as some kind of prison guard. You see that in verse 23, Brie, I don't know what version you're looking at, but it held custody, locked up, right? That's what Paul's saying. Jews don't see it that way. Or something God put in charge to lead people to Christ, certainly, verse 24, some sort of guardian until Christ comes along. And that second bit is really offensive, as you might suspect, to observant Jews. God's law is central to their relationship with God. We Christians profess that we're no longer under the law's supervision, but the Jews see the law as their supervisor, and they embrace that, at least to say the observant ones embrace that. They, in some ways like us, see Scripture as a guide for the way of life. But we see the role of the law much differently. We don't agree on that. Observant Jews live out their relationship with God by observing Torah. In the book of Galatians, Paul is insisting that Jesus' followers live out a relationship with God through faith in Christ. So we don't have something in common there. Paul writes in verse 16 of this chapter, a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. So Paul is saying that the role of the law in Christians' lives is very different. He's saying that it served as a kind of warden, a warden that held God's people captive, though. N.T. Wright is one of my favorite commentators, and he says that in the ancient world, this is fascinating to me, imprisonment was not so much a punishment, but a place where they put you, undesirables, until they could figure out what to do with you. So it's not a place of punishment, but hey, we got to hold on to these people till we figure out what in the world's going on and what to do with them. If that's what Paul's going for here, then he's saying that God's law served as a place where God held people until Jesus Christ came to live and to die for us. That's where we're holding them, Paul is saying. It's a kind of a protective custody, if you want to think of it that way, until Christ comes to free us. Now go back and look at verse 24 and 25 with this in mind. Protective custody, warden, supervisor. I asked you a few minutes ago perhaps to circle those words in 24, 25. Guardian is what it says in NIV. I don't know what you might have. But actually, that refers to a slave whose job it was to ensure that children got back and forth to school without getting into trouble along the way. Isn't that interesting? That fascinates me. This kind of guardian is fulfilling a role in a household. An underling, I think that's important to emphasize, whose job it was to make sure the kids don't get into trouble to and from school. So Paul's comparing the role to a babysitter who has responsibility for a child. And that kind of supervisor would watch over or supervise the kids until the kids got to adulthood. So look what it says now. We were held in custody. The law was our guardian. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, we are children of God through faith. Interesting idea. He's saying that God's adopted children don't need Torah to babysit them. We've reached adulthood. God tasked the law as subordinate to him. God tasked the law to supervise the kids and to point to Christ. And you know what? Christ has come. So we don't need that supervisor anymore. And we've been baptized into Jesus. We've been baptized into Jesus. And in Christ, there is no Jew or Gentile. In Christ, there is no slave or free. In Christ, there is no male or female. In Christ, as if all that wasn't amazing enough, in Christ, we are Abraham's heirs. Heirs. We've been adopted into the family. It's a new family now, beloved, where we're all brought together, neither male nor female. None of that has value, neither Jew nor Gentile. We're all brought together in a family that is the church. So why all this talk today about Svengali and evil eye and beguiling and all of that and the Jewish law? I suspect that nobody in here is tempted to follow Jewish law. I imagine that's not something you struggle with. Although, I scarce can believe it, I cannot wrap my mind around it, there are Christians today who say that you got to observe some part, all of Jewish law. Are you aware of this movement? Got to do the feasts, you got to do dietary things, got to observe this or that. There is a movement in modern day, particularly North American Christianity, that says it's Jesus plus. I don't get it. Let's think a little bit about the law and what I was saying that the law is meant to do and what it was for. So talk back with me now. Given what I said, given what we've read about the law, what was the law's purpose? What was it supposed to do? Okay, protect. Give some boundaries. Yeah. Moderate behavior. Somebody else? It guides. It teaches various particular things. It's also kind of outward monitor of your holiness, right? It shows others, hey, this person lives a different way. What the law has to say about how I go about my life is probably observant to other people. Yeah. So here's my question for you today. Hopefully it's all coming together. Do you construct righteous-looking or righteous-sounding laws that you put on yourself? Pastor Chris, I'm not going to be tempted to observe Jewish law. Yeah, but let me ask me, are there kind of laws that look righteous or seem faithful or godly? Is there a Jesus plus that we put on ourselves? Do we tend to want to return to a kind of legalism? Do we put yokes on ourselves? They look righteous, They may even have an ichthus on them, but it's still a yoke, and it's heavy. Do we do that to ourselves? I think the answer is yes. We look for guardians, because it's just too spectacular, this idea of a new way of life and a new kingdom. I can't wrap my noggin around that, but I can try to be super perfect. And if I'm not perfect, then I'm not pleasing God, or my goodness. So who are the Svengalis in the world who are imposing this spirit of religion? Who's given us the evil eye? Who's bewitching us, hypnotizing us into following some sort of outward behavior? Well, first of all, let's start at home. Us. Sometimes we do that. I heard the tale of a person who's been a long-time believer who's still in a kind of prison because of the righteous, can I call it a spirit of religion, or maybe religious OCD that they put upon themselves, that if they aren't doing all these things, then God surely must not be happy with me and I'm not really a successful Christian. Do you know anybody like that? Are you kind of like that? Then you might be your own Svengali. What about our culture? Oh, our culture is full of bewitchers. Our culture is full of Svengalis. We live in a society that often chooses sides based on things like color of the skin, language, sexual identity, politics. Paul is inviting us, beloved, us, those who have been engrafted in the family of God, Paul is inviting us to a different and more unifying way. He invites his adopted brothers and sisters in Christ to celebrate our unity in Christ. That's the good. I'm going to say it again. I want to hear an amen. Paul is inviting us to celebrate our unity in Christ, where there is no Jew or Greek. Going to get an amen up in here today. In Messiah's family, in the radical new kingdom of God, none of those either, neither categories, Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female, they don't matter. You foolish Galatians. You tasted freedom in Christ, and now you would put these things back on? Stop it. Galatians 5:1 says this, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." Be free today, brother and sister, from that stuff, that plus, that Jesus plus, because we have salvation in none other than the person and work of Jesus Christ alone. Hebrews 2:1 through 3, "We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation?" We are saved in Christ, period. Let's pray. Father, this world is so beguiling and bewitching, and even us fairly mature believers are sometimes beguiled into thinking that we have to add something else in order to be saved. God, it's probably easy for us to say, oh, we certainly don't have to be beholden to any kind of Jewish law, because that is so far removed from our experience. We wouldn't even be tempted to do that in a million years. But God, we are tempted to put on the yokes of our own making, or those that some other Svengali says we should do in order to be saved, to be more holy. Speak to us today about this. Give freedom where there is bondage. Let those, Lord, who are still children being guarded to and from school grow up. Because we're in you now, and we've reached full maturity, and we give you thanks that in Christ there is no slave or free or Jew or Gentile or male or female. Bless you, God. We give you thanks. Bless you, Father, for being the best one ever. And thank you for engrafting us in the family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.